Devotional Meditations on the Questions of Jesus. Ever heard someone say, "That's a good question"? As I read the questions of Jesus, I was constantly saying, "That's a good question, and it deserves an honest answer." I'm Don Harris. Join me now, and together we'll examine the questions of Jesus. He who begins by loving Christianity better than truth will proceed by loving his own sect or church better than Christianity, and end in loving himself better than all. Samuel Coleridge. Question 1. How is it that you sought me? Luke 2:49. And he said unto them, "How is it that you sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" There are many seeking Christ today. This book will likely share a shelf with many others, the presence of which testifies to the fact that man seeks a relationship with God. But are we seeking God, or are we seeking a way into God's favor? Though subtle, there is a difference. As the feast drew to a close, the families that ate and played and worshiped together prepared for the long trek home. Assuming Jesus was with other family members of Joseph, son of Jacob, they set upon their journey. Then Jesus was nowhere to be found among the family. His parents sought him desperately for 3 days, sorrowing all the while they were searching. They finally found him conversing with the doctors of the law in the temple. He was so assured that they knew where to find him, he asked, nearly surprised, "How is it that you sought me? Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" When we're outside of Christ and we determine to find him, we seek him frantically, panicking and sorrowing that he's not found in the places we look for him. We put our trust in others or in ideas that seem to point us to Christ, but as time goes by, we find that things were not as we supposed. People disappoint us. The authors of our books turn out to be profiteers. Pastors prove only to be hirelings, and friends are only as actors in a play. We find no truth, no substance, no reality, no answers. We do not find the true Christ in the experience of the people around us or their leadership. We do not find him in churches or seminaries. We do not find him in books or lectures, sermons or songs. He is neither to be found in philosophies new or old. We finally collapse in discouragement and despair and can feel it is no use to search any longer. We even entertain thoughts of conspiracy and sinister plots of illusion, or perhaps we surmise God is not real at all. It's all fakery and a crutch to the hopeless and the fearful, not for a thinking man or one who demands truth. One couldn't be more mistaken. Just because the real Jesus is not where you look for him does not mean he does not exist.
What are you looking for? Where is your faith? Why did you doubt? These are some of the most probing questions ever asked, but even more significant is who it is that asked them, Jesus, the Son of God. If you want to embark on a journey of discovery that will impact your life, listen to the questions that Jesus asked. In his devotional meditations book entitled On the Questions of Jesus, Don Harris examines 150 questions that the Messiah posed. This book was the result of a personal devotional study that Don embarked upon a few years ago. After sharing several of his insights with others, he was encouraged to publish what the Lord was teaching him. And the conclusion was a 475-page devotional which examines the revealing questions Jesus asked and the answers given. Whatever the reason Jesus asked his questions, in all our conversational encounters with the Savior, it will be his wisdom that beams, his glory that shines, and his heart of love and compassion that is laid before us. Your answers to his questions will sometimes make you uncomfortable and lay your heart open to him in return. But to whom, save Christ, could you really trust your candid answers and confessions? Who is able to open your life for examination in pure love and unfeigned truth as Jesus can. As you hear Jesus ask the probing questions to his adversaries, acquaintances, seekers, and intimate disciples, you'll be challenged to examine your own life in respect to Christ's inquiries. As you hear his questions and consider your own answers, you're thrust into his time and he into yours. By quiet contemplations, words on a page become a live conversation. If only you'll answer his questions honestly and with sincerity, you may well peer into the depths of your own soul and purpose, heretofore undiscovered and unknown. Ours is a quest to learn of our Messiah and his Father, Yehovah. Jesus asked questions of the people in the Bible stories to fulfill the will of God, and that was, as it remains with us, to bring the chosen ones closer to his Father. With this devotional, you can experience a daily exchange of thought with the Christ of the Bible, leading you closer to him, revealing his ways, his thoughts, and eventually, if he wills it so, his Father. As he said in Matthew 11:27-28, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book entitled On the Questions of Jesus for $30, which includes shipping and handling. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867. That's 888-578-7867. Or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com. It's an investment that will encourage you to listen to Jesus. Now let's rejoin Don with more from The Questions of Jesus.
Just because the real Jesus is not where you look for him does not mean he does not exist. What you, my friend, need to identify is the Father's business. One Sabbath day, not much different than any other, all gathered at the synagogue to hear the scrolls of Moses and the prophets read. All above the age of 30 were given, in turn, the opportunity to read from the law and or the prophets with the rest of the rabbis. This Sabbath was different only in that this week it fell to Jesus, the son of Joseph, to read. He read from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and said, "This day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." Jesus, by reading this and confirming it, here shows us the prophesied and fulfilled mission of Messiah. We may find here the Father's business. In our day, it's a little more difficult to follow Christ as he asked the disciples to do in Scripture. They simply had to physically follow him around. By doing so, they were shown his work and his ministry and made familiar with his way. We must find his way and get in it. This is not difficult to do if we're not helped by well-meaning but misguided persons who tell us what Christ requires of us in no uncertain terms. The problem is that they have no idea either what God expects of them or us. You must depend rather on the Spirit of God to show you this way, and when you find it, you'll find Christ. His ministry is to be about the Father's business. The Father's business is opening eyes blinded by hatred and sin, to heal the brokenhearted, the life-trodden souls that are only chess pieces to the power brokers of the real world. The Father's business is to justify, rectify, and set in fair and proper order the heart of desperate man, and to make him acceptable in the sight of God. The Father's business is to preach the jubilee of the Lord, the year that all is set right. You'll not find on Isaiah's prophetic list of Messiah's accomplishments, from which Jesus read, the erecting of church buildings or the organization of denominations. You will find that God's business has little to do with conventional Christianity, and even less to do with doctrines, creeds, and liturgies. He's not interested in developing philosophies or trite maxims to live by, or in publishing 7 easy steps to salvation. He's not wringing his hands over the latest and greatest preacher or songwriter or author or singer, hoping that they will do well and touch many lives. His business is to seek and to save those who are lost and out of the way, those who seek him and repent, and those who live without offense to their conscience. Why do we search for God in the new and clean buildings, when his interest is in alleys and suburbs, and wherever his called ones are coming to the light of Christ? When you associate yourself with those who have, you are farther from Christ than ever. When you get involved with those who have not, and feeding the hungry, and helping the helpless, you'll be closer to the ministry of Christ than ever before. You must come out of the convention, come out of the ordinary. Do something for the one in prison, the one in bed with illness, and empty your closets for the one who has needs. In doing so, you'll find Christ. Both of the examples in the story below were surprised when they found Christ was embodied in the poor, sick, and the hungry ones. There is sadness in the realization that Christ was in their own community, and they did not know it. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Jesus was not found in the religions of the world, nor was he found in some deep meditative state. He was found by those simply doing the Father's business. You can easily be cheated of his presence and power by running after the schemes concocted by modern teachers and preachers. All the while he may be easily found, in all of his fullness, in repulsive places that these fancy slick talkers and spiritual guides will not dare to go. But fear not. When you find the real Jesus, the true Messiah, the Son of God, he'll comfort you and welcome you as though you had come from a long journey. You'll tell him of your horrible escapades, your close encounters with false prophets and liars of all sorts who told you where to search for him. You'll expound in detail how you almost gave up and thought he was dead. You'll feel silly and ashamed when he looks at you and asks, How is it that you sought for me? Did you not know that I'd be about my Father's business?
Ours is a quest to learn of our Messiah and his Father, Yehovah. Jesus asked questions of the people in the Bible stories to fulfill the will of God, and that was, as it remains with us, to bring the chosen ones closer to his Father. With this devotional, you can experience a daily exchange of thought with the Christ of the Bible. If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book entitled On the Questions of Jesus for $30, which includes shipping and handling. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867. That's 888-578-7867. Or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com.
Thank you for joining us. This is Don Harris, inviting you to join us again next time as we examine the next in the series from the book On the Questions of Jesus.